Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. This week on the HR Power Hour, our guest is Mark Singer, president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox, and he discusses delivering financial wellness. Everyone knows that financial wellness is important to employees, but why should employers care or do anything about it? Well, let's listen to Mark today. And I'm your host, David Chulo, discuss the facts and stats of why it matters, the ROI of helping your employees with their financial education, and the process by which to make it happen. Mark, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Financial wellness is such an important topic. And you know, Mark, as we have the conversation today, I think it's important to think about why employers would care about this. And why we're taking the time today to educate them.
Well, I think we have to understand sort of where we've been, why we're even thinking about it, why it's even a conversation, and some of the challenges that are facing the employer to deliver effective financial wellness. You talk to a lot of HR folks, Dave, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure financial wellness, quote-unquote, is a topic that every once in a while comes up.
Sure, of course. They talk about employees that are either struggling or maybe they are challenged to put money in their 401k, or they always have questions on, hey, what if I get to the end of my career? Can I retire? These are all very important questions.
Absolutely. So here's one of the key, crucial questions that we have when we think about talking about financial wellness. Do you have a particular standard definition of what financial wellness is?
No.
And that therein lies one of the key problems and challenges that we face in our industry because, and I've spoken to, I'll say hundreds, but it's probably closer to thousands of HR folks through my, you know, either webinars with National SHRM or speaking engagements at retirement planning conferences, and I ask the question to all of those who are in there, a lot of HR folks, what is financial wellness? And everybody comes up with a different definition. But sometimes we get stuck on that, but I would submit to you, and a lesson that I learned a while ago is that I tend to answer that question, or many others in life, based on my own experience or lens, if you will. And for me, you know, in the financial services and financial wellness business, I tend to think about financial stuff. And for those who are in the world of retirement and you talk about financial wellness, they're talking about, as you just mentioned, 401k contributions and retirement. But the reality is, again, we're answering them from our perspective. We don't necessarily take into account everybody else at the table. And what I mean by that is, so for the HR folks, they have a particular set of fires that they're dealing with, and they'll answer the question, what is financial wellness, from their particular lens. And then you've got the folks on the benefits end of the table, and they have a little bit different definition of it. And then you've got the corporate board of directors who certainly have a different agenda for why they would want to deliver financial wellness. And then you've got the plan consultant, the person who's delivering the 401k plan, which, to be honest with you, traditionally is where, quote-unquote, financial wellness has been delivered in the past. But the one person or the one constituency that is probably more important than all of those is the employee. So I would ask your audience, instead of trying to define what financial wellness is from their perspective, I ask them, one, have they surveyed their employees to find out what their issues are? We know in general, right? We know retirement, you know, college loans, cash flow. But if we can do a better job of engaging the employee and then through our organization coming up with some broad definition of financial wellness, therein lies the start, just the start, of getting financial wellness done within the organization.
You know, it's interesting, and you mentioned this as we talked offline, that it is a personal decision what financial wellness really means to them, as you say, the individual. What I find fascinating about that is what somebody thinks, for example, is a little money or a lot of money or enough to live on or enough to retire on or enough to survive on or enough to be wealthy on is never the same number for each and every person, is it?
Absolutely. And again, we all have our own perceptions and, if you will, I keep coming back to the word, but I think it's very important, our own lens that we see life through. And we tend to think of what other people are doing or how they're responding or their situation based on where we are or what our thoughts are. And that's not necessarily the best way to go through either life, if you will, or certainly when we talk about financial wellness. We really have to get on board with not just the employee, if you will. We have to understand what their interests are. But unfortunately, traditionally, the delivery of financial wellness has been almost exclusively through the retirement plan channel, through the 401k provider, and there's been sort of an agenda or a bias when it comes to that, depending upon what products or, you know, offerings they have. And we don't always address what is timely for the employee. In other words, yes, what is the number one long-term, the answer to the long-term question, what is the most important financial issue to you long-term? Most everyone is going to say, gee, I hope I have enough money to retire. And that's where, you know, financial wellness, retirement plans, 401ks have focused on, if you will, the enrollment meeting, and we deliver, you know, what asset allocation, you know, how much international, how much domestic, and all that nonsense, which traditionally has been what has been the definition of quote-unquote financial wellness, but we really weren't making a connection with the employee on matters that were timely to them because of the short-term stressors that they face oftentimes trump what they're trying to do to accomplish their long-term goal, which is, if you will, to max out the 401k and have enough money for retirement. So we've really got to shift our focus and find a way to deliver in as manageable a way as possible and a way also to benchmark the success or failure of it, which on the health side of things is a lot easier to do than on the financial side. You know, I walked 10,000 steps, I lowered my cholesterol. You know, those are things I can measure on the health side. But one of the challenges is beyond just the definition of financial wellness is, how do we define whether or not the investment in time or money or resources is actually impactful or effective? And that's one of those issues that we've got to deal with in our industry, in the employer space, so that we can better deliver this across the board.
So, you know, as we're talking about financial wellness and about, and we're talking, by the way, with Mark Singer. He is the president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. Mark, you know, employees, families, and even employers, financial success or financial failure or financial fear, which is the word I would use right now, is financial fear, has a real impact on how an employee will work. You have some stats on that. Talk about the stress levels.
So it's very interesting. And again, I think it's really important to understand that if we're going to be in front of employees, we really want to understand what makes them tick. And typically, and we see this in studies all across, you know, the behavioral side, you know, the negative or the fear drives us a lot more than, you know, positive or happy. So we really need to touch them where they are. And a study that was done by Price Waterhouse in 2017, there was a lot of great statistics. It was Employee Financial Wellness Survey. And what they said on financial stress was consistent with last year. More than 53% of employees report that they are stressed dealing with their financial situation, and nearly half say that their stress level related to financial issues has increased over the last 12 months. Now, let's go back to what's happened over the, if you will, the stock market over the last 12 months. You know, a lot of, or 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, the market's had a pretty good run, and traditionally, you know, the media thinks, and they talk about your 401k is up or your 401k is down, and therefore you're feeling better or worse. That doesn't necessarily drive how we're feeling when we wake up tomorrow morning. We are stressed, and that stress impacts us in different ways. And the way I put it is, if you are feeling stressed on the short-term basis, and when I say short-term, if you're burdened by cash flow issues, credit card issues, student loan issues, you know, I think that the average student loan nationwide is $30,000, but I can tell you that I've got two stepkids, one who graduated from U of Miami with over $100,000 of student loan, okay? Even though he's doing very well in New York City in the financial services industry, it is still going to be a burden for him, no matter how much money he's making. And then the younger one, I convinced her not to go to U of Miami and go to UMass Amherst. She didn't want to go there originally because Mom went there, but I finally told her it was better for her because it was a better fit.
Yeah.
And she just walked away with like $20,000. So, you know, student loan debt is a big issue. It's also one of the, if you will call it, silos of solutions that we find. There are certain resources available just for student loans that I think employers can use and should be using. But student loan debt is impactful. Credit card debt, cash flow. But the important thing to recognize when we're thinking about that is not only the impact of it on the short-term basis for the employee, but the studies show, and this is just intuitively, we know this, that if you are feeling less stress today, then we're saving more for retirement, we're taking fewer loans out on our retirement plan, and we typically have more than $50,000 in the retirement plan. So if we can refocus the stress that people are feeling, yes, we're stressed about the fact, hey, we may not be able to retire, and studies show that almost 50% of people who are thinking about retirement are deferring that decision till a later time because they don't have enough money. Well, why don't they have enough money? Well, for many of them, it's because the short-term stressors were such that they never really were able to invest in or understand the benefits of investing in that retirement plan. So I think it's a lot of it we understand intuitively, but we really have to go in and really understand and provide tools, again, on a relevant and timely basis for the employee that will help them better manage their current cash flow. And then if we're able to help them do that, then we can come back in the conversation that we typically have and talk with them about the benefits of increasing their retirement plan contribution. I call it the 1% solution, by 1%. So, again, from a big picture perspective, I think we have to all get on the same page in terms of what the definition is. I think we have to survey the employee to find out what's important to them. and then start to deliver some of those resources or solutions to them. But that still leaves, and I'm sure we've got plenty of time for this, to talk about the challenges that are facing the employer or the organization to deliver this. Because most HR folks understand that this is an issue, and that's about where their research and due diligence has taken them so far. But the question is, how do you hit the start button?
We're talking with Mark Singer, president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples now has an even bigger selection of HP ink and toner. In store, in stock, and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Mark Singer, president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Mark, in the first segment, we talked a little bit about employees and, of course, their fears and their challenges when it comes to financial wellness. Let's look at it from the employer's perspective. We talked a little about the stress employees have as to why this is an issue, but employers may say to themselves, you know, why is it important for me to deal with it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I go back to, and again, the lens, the perspective. For HR or benefits, they've been for many years living in the health space where the ability to define success or failure is much easier. Again, I have my Fitbit, you know, I walk 10,000 steps, you know, I lost 12 pounds, I lowered my cholesterol. Many of these initiatives can be measured or benchmarked fairly easily so that we can get some sense of whether or not the effort, again, for time, money, and personnel, is worthwhile. On the financial side, it's a much softer return. It's much less well-defined. However, there are studies, and the one I have that I started with goes back to 2009, but since then, there have been several that have confirmed or reaffirmed the numbers that Dr. Thomas Garman put out from Personal Finance Employee Education Foundation, where he did an exhaustive study of thousands of organizations to try to come up with the cost of financial illiteracy to an organization. And the number he came up with, now almost 10 years ago, was that it costs a range, depending, somewhere between $750 to $2,000 per employee per year. Now, that number actually has gone up a bit in recent surveys that I've looked at. But another number that, to put it in a different way, because, again, getting back to the board of directors, right? They're looking for the ROI. And one of the great difficulties that HR is finding, even if they are a champion for wellness, is that they are having difficulty getting upper management support to move it through because it's difficult to benchmark and difficult to come up with the ROI. And the ROI on these programs really is much longer term than it is shorter term, like some of the health programs. However, the studies do show that somewhere in the vicinity for every dollar that is spent on effective financial wellness programs, it means $3 back to the employer's bottom line. So I think that's really important, but I think it's also important to frame the perspective on this. This is not a short-term goal. If you're going to go down the path of delivering financial wellness in a real-world sense, then it has to be a sustainable, long-term approach that incorporates all areas of the corporation and everybody's vision. Another impact, and we talked about it earlier in terms of how employees are thinking about this, that almost 50% of those who are thinking about retirement cite that they don't have enough money to retire on time. And we sort of kind of knew this all along, but a study was done last year by Prudential, and I think there was one other, and it now quantified what this decision means to the employer, because this delayed retirement means that it can cost an employer upwards of $50,000 per year per employee for each year of a delayed retirement. And that didn't even take into account, as Prudential said, which was the opportunity cost of bringing in new talent. So it's a big deal, but having said all that, and it sounds so dire, right? There was a wonderful study put out by Aon Hewitt last year, and to me, this is sort of like the light at the end of the tunnel. And the study asked employers what were the reasons that they were offering financial wellness. Interesting, only a quarter of them said it was to decrease medical costs. And I say it's interesting because for so long, HR has been talking about the reason why they want to bring in financial wellness is to make them more productive and healthier, therefore reducing health care costs. But the study last year showed that only one out of four said that was the primary reason. Another one was, 33% said that employees are asking for programs, but I think that's actually low. I think if you actually asked your employees, that number would be much higher. They want to improve retirement statistics. They want to increase employee engagement. That was the second answer, that 80% of them said they wanted to increase employee engagement. It's a very difficult thing. HR and benefits are always struggling with the offerings that they have. And in the financial wellness world, it's not uncommon to only have 10-12% of the organization that has actually accessed the tool. So that makes it really frustrating for HR. But the light at the end of the tunnel, the number one reason why employers stated that they were going to offer financial wellness, 85% of them said it's the right thing to do. So to me, that means, yes, we understand that there's a matrix. Yes, we understand we have to cost it out. Yes, we understand that there's an investment. We have to come up with some ROI. We have to come up with programs. But in the big picture of things, we're really understanding the impact it has on people and the impact it's going to have on the employers. And even if tomorrow we can't benchmark it perfectly, we just know it's the right thing to do, and more employers are moving towards offering it out. Another study showed that upwards of 86% are looking to offer financial wellness in a short-term basis. So as difficult a landscape as it is, I think the trend is starting to move in our favor.
Well, you know, it's truly obviously something that people are thinking about. It's truly something that companies would like to do. But let's talk reality, right? Because we know that a lot of organizations say it's the right thing to do. They know it's something they should be doing. They understand that it's a challenge to their employees. They want to make sure that people are taken care of. But, hey, they only have so much time. They only have so much money. There's only so much that they can do for their employees. They only have a small participation rate, which you talked about. How do they deal with the roadblocks and the challenges that are out there? Because let's just be real that HR is a challenging area today with all the compliance and other areas that they're dealing with.
There's no doubt about it. In all the last 8 or 9 years that I've been in the financial wellness space and had the opportunity to create some wonderful relationships with some great HR folks, I have one particular individual. She runs a very large insurance organization. She has a large staff. I don't know of another individual who is more of a champion for financial wellness. She helped me with my most recent book on the new financial wellness. She's wonderful. She can't get it moving in her organization. She is, every one of her people is completely maxed out. How is she going to deliver this large, brand new program that she has to engage everybody in the organization, figure out how to deliver it? The challenges that she faces, and many of the folks who are listening to this show, I put them into five different challenges, and Karen and I talk about this all the time. First is bandwidth. You mentioned that. We really don't have the time or resources, and we have to bring on new people to deliver a new offering. We're already to the max. So bandwidth is the number one challenge for HR and benefits departments. Cost is another. And I always say when I'm speaking to audiences that I use cost as a word very deliberately, because to me, the word should be investment. It's still an expenditure of money, but when you say investment, you think that there's going to be some return on that money, whereas when you say there's a cost to the program, it's a very negative connotation. So therein lies part of the problem, because when you get to the third challenge, which is management engagement, which Financial Finesse has said in their survey of hundreds of HR folks across the country, that their number one deal, their number one challenge right now, even if they are champions, is getting management engaged, because there is a cost and it's difficult to get the ROI. So you got bandwidth, you got cost, you got management engagement, employee engagement. That's really difficult. We both mentioned it. It's a little easier on the health side. On the financial side, you know, we've struggled with this. Does gamification work? Do rewards work? Incentives work? It's all very difficult. You know, if you only get 10 to 15% of the population to engage in the program, why are you doing this when 85 to 90% of them don't do it? So it becomes very frustrating for HR and benefits. And then finally, the fifth challenge is benchmarking. And that has been a real hurdle. And again, it gets back to cost and management engagement and the board of directors. So we really have to, within our industry, find a better way to help HR, help benefits, help the corporate board of directors understand how to handle these challenges and find a little bit different perspective.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Our guest today is Mark Singer, president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. We'll be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. Did you know that with the Loan a Tool program at AutoZone, you can borrow a specialty tool with no purchase necessary? Choose from over 100 tools to help you get the job done right, no matter how big or small. And right now, get 5.25 ounces of Lucas Complete Field Treatment for $4.99 each, or two for $8. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide, and let's get you what you need. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're having a great conversation about financial wellness with our guest, Mark Singer. He's president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. Mark, I got to tell you, you know, talking about financial literacy, talking about how employers have to think this through, it can look daunting, but I know you have an idea, a program, a curriculum that you've put together, a way of people to think about this. You know, as they're listening today to the HR Power Hour, and they can go, of course, after the show to hrpowerhour.com, and they can download this show or they can connect with you directly. Talk to us a little bit about that type of curriculum that they can put together, how they can use outside resources to help them navigate this process.
Sure. You know, I think so far, we've pretty much been talking about what everybody knows, if you will. This has been the perspective for years with regards to delivering financial wellness. And for those of us who are in the financial wellness space, you know, not only is HR frustrated and benefits frustrated, but we're frustrated as in terms of providers as well, because it's been very difficult to move the needle forward. So one of the big lessons I learned, and it actually was a hospital in the Northeast that I worked with a number of years ago. They have 15,000 employees. And they decided, instead of trying to deliver financial wellness and everything that's involved with that from start to finish to everybody, they decided to run and consulted with me to create a pilot program where we delivered it to 50 people initially, 50 people who raised their hands, 50 people who wanted to be involved, and we created, it was really about a 10 to 12 week program where there were a number of tasks, videos, worksheets, but the most important part of the 10 to 12 week program was the pre and the post assessment form. Because again, we have to get into, you know, trying to figure out the impact of these programs. And the good news was that that program worked very well for that hospital. But for me, it helped me to launch a study back in 2017 where I said, you know, if it worked for them, let's see if we can figure out how we can refine this. So I decided to conduct a study on a very limited, narrow basis. And the two questions in the study were, because I understood what the challenges for HR are, one, can we benchmark the impact of lowering stress on a short-term basis for employees? And two, can we benchmark increased retirement plan contributions? So as broad as financial wellness is and all the topics, I decided to focus on those two. And we engaged with 10 different organizations. We had about 150 plan participants in total. And what I said to each of the plan sponsors was, let's just find those people who want to raise their hand, those people who really have an interest, are motivated. We don't have to put a carrot in front of them. They already know it. So we had people who were already motivated. So we put together a simple five-week program. And the curriculum included a number of different learning modules, from 4 to 6 minute videos to worksheets and tasks. And again, the most important part was the pre and the post assessment surveys to see if we could benchmark things. We talked about, is a 401k loan a good idea? A cash flow worksheet. The psychology of budgeting. We talked about the 1% solution, which was increasing your contributions by 1%, managing your credit, and then we finished up by actually asking the plan participants to identify for them. It wasn't anything about me or pushing my agenda on them. I wanted them to identify a short-term financial planning issue that was of stress to them and create a plan to resolve it. So all of that was good. We delivered the program. The results. I've never done a study before, so I really didn't know what to expect. But we had 10 different organizations, 150 participants over a 9-month period, and with a simple 5-week program, we found that 96% of the participants found the 5-week program helpful. The percentage of participants who felt stressed, and let me define that, we asked the participant to identify themselves on a scale of 1 to 10, how stressed they were feeling. And we said you were feeling a higher level of stress if you indicated you were 7, 8, 9, or 10. So the percentage of participants who felt stressed, 7, 8, 9, or 10, about their personal finances before the program started, those people indicated, 52% of them said they felt highly stressed. After the 5-week program, that 52% dropped to 19%. The next thing that we looked at was increased retirement plan contributions, and we found that just a little over 15% of the participants increased their retirement plan contributions. But I will tell you this, because we did exit interviews with each of the plan sponsors, there were numbers of people who had yet to get to this task. and that they were going to get to it. So maybe we could have gotten that up to 20%, but that would have been very impactful for the employer and the employee, as we've already indicated. And another thing we found, it was feedback from the employees, and it was something we weren't expecting, really. Over half, it was actually 56% of the participants, felt that after this five-week program, they were better able to manage their cash flow. So what we learned in this was, if you find those people who really want to do this, who really get it, who feel stress, a sense of urgency, a need, and deliver to them a program where you can benchmark the results, that you can find success early. And the importance of finding success early is, and delivering it in a pilot program versus delivering it en masse, is that you don't need to embrace the entire organization. The costs are very low. The integration of personnel is very low. And then once you have gotten these success stories, you can now leverage those. You can now find champions for the program to engage management more or engage more employees in the next round of the program. What we ended up doing was, after the five-week program and the results, which obviously we were ecstatic, I said the five-week program wasn't enough. 5 weeks does not change behavior. So we took the five-week program and built it out into a 365-day program that we now make available to organizations. But it's built on the same premise of start small. You know, again, getting back to the challenges we face for HR and benefits, it's too big a task. It's too much. It's too broad. We can't even define financial wellness. But if we narrow it down and we just simply focus on a couple of items that we know are of importance to the employees, we can reach mutual goals, which is to help the employee and to push this through the employer's organization.
Mark, what do you think is the most impactful piece of the program that you really think is the biggest takeaway for not only the employer but the employee?
You know, so let's go back to how we've traditionally delivered financial wellness through the organization. It's basically been through the enrollment meetings. You even said it at the beginning of the show. You know, it's retirement, it's asset allocation. You know, we meet every 6 months, year, quarterly, whatever, and it's usually delivered through the retirement plan provider. So the focus has always been on the retirement plan, yet the studies show over and over again that up to 75% of the people in those meetings are not impacted or influenced, as Fidelity said, by what we say in those enrollment meetings. We are not making a connection with what is of importance today to the employees. We're talking from the retirement plan perspective based on our agenda and our perspective and our lens. But are we really talking with and connecting with the employee? And the answer, honestly, has been no. So if we can deliver in a easy way to the relevant and timely issues for those who really are engaged, then we can start to make successes. And that's where we really found the feedback we got was they loved the worksheets. They really got benefit from the cash flow. It was not as much about retirement. But now that we've helped them resolve some of the issues and lowered their stresses, now we can sort of circle back and talk about how to increase their retirement plan contribution. And that's what we really learned.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with Mark Singer. He is the Financial Literacy Toolbox President, and we're excited to have him on this show. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates.
Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. First of all, I want to thank all our sponsors today. Great sponsors. Proud to have them on the show. You know, one of the things that we can't do is do this show and provide educational HR radio if we don't have you. So thank you very much to all of them. Go to hrpowerhour.com. Check them out. We're talking about delivering financial wellness today. We're talking to Mark Singer. He's the president and founder of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. And we've had a great conversation today about financial wellness. You know, one thing I haven't asked you, Mark, as we wrap up the show today, what got you into the financial field? Tell me a little bit about you. And yeah, we only have a couple minutes, but let's do it anyway.
No, it's a great question. So for over 30 years now, I've had a financial planning business. Yes, I did start at the age of 12, if you're interested. But what I found was in talking with folks, and our business really focuses on the transition into and through retirement, is that the majority of our conversations and the majority of the time I spend with clients on the financial planning end of it was much more about life than it was about money. You know, if we were an hour meeting with a client, we'd have 5 minutes about money and the rest was everything else. So I started to think about how to do a better job of connecting with not only my clients but their family members, and that started me along the journey of developing a number of short videos on different, you know, oddball sorts of topics that are not traditional financial planning topics, you know, financial organization, how to cope with death, how women can take control of their financial affairs, the psychology of budgeting, all sorts of stuff that I found of interest but were not the traditional financial planning conversations. And from there, I just started having conversations in the with people in the retirement planning sector, and from there got introduced to a number of people in the health sector. A couple of them have become my mentors. It's now, as you can tell, it's my passion. I really want to deliver financial literacy, financial wellness in a way that is unbiased, that's purely educational, that addresses the needs on a timely basis of the employee. And in the long run, it will make the employer more money, but what we're really looking to do is be sort of more holistic and really help out that employee.
And it is important, and I think that's, as you said, the right thing to do, right? It's really the right thing to do. You know, as I ended the last segment, I asked about the big picture question. What do you do next? How do you engage an organization, culture? How do you engage C-suite to have this type of conversation? So as we wrap up the show today, what are some of the key big picture issues that you see that a company needs to look at to make this happen?
Whenever I wrap up speaking to an audience, I give them five things of what we call what to do next. First, Determine if your organization's culture should be offering financial wellness programs. Let's not assume that this is for everybody. So some just don't feel like tackling this, and that's fine, but many do. Then you need to coordinate the various departments and management. Make sure you're all on the same page. Have the same definition, the same goals in mind. Then you need to define the overall goals and the timeline. Be very clear on what your objectives are. This is a long-term deliverable. This is going to be a lot of frustration between now and then, so make sure you understand that. Next, identify champions of the program, those who really are behind it. And finally, determine if you'll implement a full rollout or a pilot program. David, you already know my bias on that one. I think it's much easier for C-suite to move forward if we're delivering it in a pilot way versus in full. But I think that's a determination that everybody at the table needs to make.
You know, we've had a great conversation today about delivering financial wellness with Mark Singer, president of the Financial Literacy Toolbox. Mark, where can somebody reach you?
I can be reached at www.financialliteracytoolbox.com. That's our website. They can reach me at mark@financialliteracytoolbox.com, or they can call me at 781-599-5009.
And, of course, you can go after the show directly to the HR Power Hour website. You will find Mark's pretty picture as well as his bio and a recap of the show, as well as, of course, a download to look at and to listen to, and make sure that you can hear the show again if you like a segment, or connect with Mark directly, as we'll have that information on there. Mark, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Appreciate your time and talking about this important topic.
Dave, thanks for the opportunity.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
We've all heard the adage, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. Hi, my name is Doug Currier, and I'm from Veral Dana. My experience representing employers for over 25 years is that assumptions can get you into a lot of trouble. No jury is going to like it if you took some action against an employee and you had your facts wrong. And if you do not take the time to find out the facts, to ask the right questions, to give the employee a chance to fully explain his or her side of the story, then the same jury might conclude that you really didn't care about the facts, perhaps because you just wanted to have some excuse to get rid of the employee for some other, perhaps illegal reason. So do not assume the facts. Ask the who, what, where, when, why, and how question. And push back when something does not add up. For more information about this and any other labor and employment law topic, please contact any member of Veral and Dana's Labor and Employment Law Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.